Yes, it was shared with the county clerk, posted here at the CSB, and sent to radio and newspaper.
I'd entertain a motion to accept the agenda in a second.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made in second to approve the agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Approval of minutes, September 18, 2024. Need a motion on that? Any questions?
I made a motion to approve the minutes. I'll second it.
Okay, the motion made in second for approval of minutes, September 18, 2024. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Public comments / communication.
I think we have one today.
I'll talk about the public hearing ones down here, so.
Okay, then we go move on to the advocacy reports.
And you can just see what we've got going on there. So there's lots going on in the county and in the region. And this isn't all the region. This is just kind of our stuff. So, and then I won't go into that, but the regional board report would be you guys, so.
I did not get a question or anything about the Elder Fest to work on. You're all signed up?
Getting it. I got it here today. We've been a little crazy. So, yeah, I've got a sign up sheet today. So, yeah, and they're doing the memory screens and Mind Over Matter. We've actually got some people signed up for that, which is really nice. Because we've been struggling with prevention programming for a while now. So, we got one Eat Smart, Move More, Weigh Less. I don't know. I say it wrong every time.
Yeah.
I know it's close. It starts with Eat Smart.
Yeah.
We got one person signed up for that. So that was good. We've got some at Mind Over Matter, and we had a few people do the sale program, which is something to do with flexibility and balance. I believe I can't remember the acronym right now, but anyway, so we got a few into prevention, but we're still low, but it is what it is. Anything on regional?
Well, Lester and I attended a lot of discussion. Lafayette County, one of the board members said that Lafayette Manor must be running at about $1.5 million deficit. He said he feels that they're going to have to come up with a referendum to see if the county taxpayers want to continue subsidizing, or maybe it'll have to be closed. And of course, it's hard to, difficult finding help, but it's here in Grant County, it's all over everywhere. Mary Mesra brought up, there's a lot of discussion on that MAP program where there was some type of a mass mix-up when you have to pay your premium. They had wrong addresses, so the premium billing notices were going where they shouldn't have been. And when you were supposed to send your premium back, they were given the wrong zip code. So nothing was getting out, nothing was getting back, and people were becoming disenrolled in the program in mass numbers. So they finally decided to waive the premium for everyone in August until they got their act together. But there was a lot of discussion on that.
Meanwhile, they made economic support over here and social services and us crazy for a month and a half. Yeah, it was not, there was lots of issues. And I think they're going to have issues moving forward. There's until they get through all the appeals. Yeah, isn't it? Wasn't our fault, but
no.
We're the ones that have to.
The ones,
and it's mostly, it's more economic support that has to deal with it. But of course, people are used to dealing with us too. So we tried to help as well. So.
You have to feel sorry for the people that were becoming disenrolled. It was
no
fault of theirs.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that can't afford to lose their Medicaid, you know, it's because it's their Medicaid. That's what it is. And so if you're
getting re-enrolled, another creator, another problem.
Yeah, it was, it's been a little bit of a crazy time for us, so.
And I know you had brought up before how the state had this money and they were going to change the ADRC logo and everything, but nobody out in the trenches wanted
what?
It. So they've decided to leave the logo the same. They're going to change the color, blue. But you can use, as far as your marketing and everything else, use up what you've already got. You don't have to throw that away and then enact the new. So.
How conservative.
Anyway, those were the major issues that I took. If you have anything else,
they're concentrating on the same programs you are, trying to get them initiated, if that word.
Well,
that's a budget, of course.
We haven't, we haven't added anything new in any of the region, but we're all the region. We're all very, very busy. Although I will say Grant is busier than anybody. And part of that is size, but not, but Greene County is pretty much our size too. Our staff are definitely, you see that in the program report, I'm sure, but they are busy. I had to cover one morning, and thank God we had six people walk in about 5 minutes. we had one INA on the phone and one in a meeting, and it was like, And that's the other thing. We're getting much more walk-ins. I mean, people are and the nice thing is people are really comfortable with our office and our office staff. So they come to us sometimes, even when they maybe need to start somewhere else, but they come to us first for kind of the reassurance and the fact that we will help them. I think what happens sometimes in some of these places is you have to make a call to the consortium, and that's what they're told, is you have to make a call to the consortium. Well, if anybody knows, you know, an older person, some phone calls are not a real good, you know, an easy thing for them a lot of times, because they can't hear very well, you know, or they're trying to get through to who they should be. And so our staff will just take the time and call with them, so they've got somebody there that can kind of assist them and just kind of calm their fears. But not everybody does that. So, but ours do. For the most part, so it's a good thing.
Okay.
But yes, it's been an interesting fall. Fall is always busy for us, so to throw all that in, it just makes it a little more fun.
Number seven, Mark?
All right, public hearing. So we had the public hearing. We have to have a public hearing for our 8521 grant, which is our transportation grant that covers bus, taxis, and our volunteer driver program. And our wheelchair van. And then we also have to have a public hearing for our aging plan that's due for the 25 to 27 period. So I did combine those, because we typically don't get a ton of people to these public hearings, unfortunately. So I held one here, and we also did it on Zoom. We did not get anybody on the Zoom meeting. And then I held one in the afternoon in Boscobel, and I did get two people to that one. And then we had a couple bus riders that sent in some written comments. So let me find where I am at. So the written comments were sweet. We always usually get a couple from the bus riders. So the one of them says, "I'm thankful we have Dan for a bus driver. He is so helpful with everything. Thanks for your service." And the other one says, "Our driver is very great. His name is Dan. Very good driver. Very friendly. I'm glad we have him. I know, I am now 83 years old, and it's great we have someone to take us around." And then she says, "Taxi service would be nice too. Means a lot." So that was nice.
So did you let Dan know?
Oh, yes.
Good.
And he does very, very good with them. In the Boscobel one, we had one lady that also commented on Dan, loves the bus. Dan's a wonderful person. She would like cup holders in the bus, though. That was her thing. She had a point. They often go eat for lunch, and they don't finish their drinks, and the bus doesn't have cup holders, and then you've got to hang on to your drink. And I'm like, well, see your point. I, too, would not want to hang on to my drink. So we're going to have to see. I said, I don't even know if they come with bus holders, with cup holders, but we'll look and see. I don't know if there's anything that we can, but that was her big thing.
Well, something to consider the next time you replace the bomb.
Yeah, we'll look at it. Yeah, exactly.
I've seen
what I told
people, it's a holder, and if you could hook it like over the seat in front of you or whatever they used to have.
Yeah, well, remember the ones that used to be like when I was growing up, they were in the window of the door.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
we,
I don't know.
When we've been on bus trips, we've got a plastic thing that holds a cup and it just hooks by the window.
Yeah, that, that's
yeah.
what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might
yeah. yeah.
buy
I
a
thought
few
I,
of those.
I thought I would look.
They're cheap.
Yeah. yeah.
You had them before they put cup holders in cars.
Yeah.
But it was, it was, it
they
was,
had the horse and buggy. You
didn't have a window.
She was geared up to tell me she had an issue, and I thought, well, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But she didn't, because I chatted with her until 3 because she was there early, and so, but she didn't want to tell me until it was the public hearing. Okay. And then that was it. I'm like, okay, well, it's a good idea. And then the other gentleman was there. He didn't, I don't think he really knew what the public hearing was about, but he thought he'd come anyway. And so he told me the meals are excellent and very good 75% of the time. Some of the meals he doesn't care for because, you know, he just doesn't care for them sometimes. And I said, well, you know, we have that all the time. It's the liver and onion debate.
Yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, we should have that more. And I'm like, yeah, no.
That's so, salmon.
So those yeah. were the comments. So yeah, I got a kick out of that. So a couple there was a good idea. I could definitely see your point.
Okay, number, you done with that one?
Yes, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Number 8, we need a 20, 25, 27.
So the aging plan, so what we were waiting on for, I brought the goals, you know, a while back. So you've reviewed the goals. Basically, we needed to have the public hearing to make sure we didn't need to change any of the goals. And given those comments, I think we're good with the goals we have. So we don't need to change them. So I do have a draft. I didn't print this out and send it to everybody because I'm cheap. And most of it, most of the aging plan, besides the goals, which is the main thing that you guys need to know about, is just the demographic trends and things like that. So I'll pass it if you guys want to just take a look and pass it around and share one. Or,
why is that the program on the website?
Yes, we will get it. We will get it. It'll have to go... it's got to be approved by you, but it also has to be approved by GWAR. And the budget is not in there yet because GWAR is kind of slow in getting the budget form out. So we haven't, I just just got the budget downloaded. So what I just printed out for you, this is the aging. This isn't our full budget. This is just the aging plan. Programs. So this would just be the GWAR budget. And this is a draft. So if you saw my draft director's report, that wasn't actually, I wasn't supposed to send until I proofed it. You'll see that I make mistakes. You got a question?
No, I'm just in shock with some of
The, and it's always interesting to do
13% of the survey respondents are unable to pay for food.
Yeah. But the radio said this morning that Wisconsin leads the nation in home care of our seniors that are
probably does.
That many, yes.
Looking at third of the family care.
That's only 340 by the radio station.
Oh,
3%.
I wonder how they rate according to their Lockett County.
Again, we're out here.
Well, and that was our survey. So our survey,
yeah.
So we got about 100.
Yeah, the big numbers.
So
that cover the, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, that's surprising.
So there's education
or
is the other counties do this? All counties do it. What
no,
what they asked on their survey is up to them. I think all of them did sort of a version of kind of what we do because who are
I'm just
yeah.
curious.
Yeah, we can ask that at a regional meeting.
It would be interesting to know, you know, the
counties around here, how we compare.
Oh, it's just terrible.
Yes. We can find out. I don't know if they all asked it, but I mean, I know several of them, I don't think, asked about broadband. I asked about broadband mostly because we were trying to implement broadband, and it was coming up a lot for us with prevention programming that people just weren't comfortable. So that's why I asked it.
My mother has the internet. She's going to give it up. She's going to never use it.
Yeah.
But it's down one
day. Do you?
All the way down.
Well, I'm going to tell you, stand out there when they put it on your house and don't expect them to do it real great, because I did not stand out there because I had to work that day. And then I came and they ran it. I don't know if they don't dream them how to run it from the pole to the house, but.
They
just put it in a real awkward position. I'm like, why would you put it there?
Right. They got it to the house within about 6 inches of the phone guy. We're going to see where we're going tonight.
But it is nice. It is nice. I do have it. I do have it.
Killed up one day when I was retired.
I was just looking for knowledge.
Right.
Not a surprise, but
I know.
Challenging.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been doing community needs assessments my whole life, whether it was for children and families or elderly, you know, looking in. So really none of it surprises me either. Grant County, because it's pretty much been that whole little corner that a lot of that tends to be the same. We have large pockets of poverty that people just don't see. And I used to tell, it's funny because I used to tell my parents that, because, you know, they're not in areas where they would see that, and they would always be somewhat shocked by that, but it's very true.
That's like the number of homeless in the county.
And that's increasing. We do see them.
People, there aren't anybody not in Grant County.
Yeah.
And when you tell them, well, where are they at? We don't see them. Well, yeah. That's the issue.
Yeah.
So when is this going
to be? So what we'll have to do is once you approve it, then I'll go back and approve it one more time. And then I have to send it to GWAR, and then with the budget. And then they will approve it, and then it'll be finalized. And then they'll send you back. You just send
me. You want us to approve this now?
Yes. And you've already looked at the goals. So you,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You basically... For the board, mostly it's the goals that are making sure that the goals line up with what we have. And I think if you look back through those, I mean, I think I justified the goals pretty well based on the surveys and the things that we had. So,
well, I'd entertain a motion of approval of the aging plan.
Motion.
And a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Who seconded that?
I don't.
You should have a second.
No,
I never heard a second.
Oh, okay.
My motion dies for lack of a second.
Oh,
now
it's. Yeah.
I thought
it
didn't know
either. You're just so used to
I thought I might not have heard it either. So.
Okay. Then number 9, MCO contract.
Okay, so the MCO contracts are the contract that we have with Inclusive, because we only have one MCO right now that we contract with, and that's Inclusive. We don't contract with My Choice. We have never contracted with My Choice. They have always found a way, if they really needed meals from it, to get it. There are some different things happening with MCO contracts as we move forward, although it's still kind of a mystery. We're going to have to register in Forward Health, be a Forward Health provider. How that's all going to play out, we're really not sure, because they've just had some brief meetings and they keep saying we'll know more in March. So I don't know how that's going to play out. However, I'm going to give you, I did do a little handout on this as well, so we could talk about our issues.
They're going to be changing
Inclusive.
Is there a restructuring?
Is that the one that got bought? I always get confused.
Yeah.
By Humana.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're technically.
Well, they changed it how many times now, Bob? So I
don't know.
You know. They probably will. And that's, you know, the difference too. They are owned by bigger insurance companies now. So here's the issue that we have. We have to charge them what our meal cost is. We do a meal cost tool every year, but it's always based on the previous year. It's what the state has us do. So I contacted them because our meal costs for home delivered meals have went up from $14.01 to $15.55. There's a couple reasons for that, because we are seeing a decrease in our home delivery since we have been, you know, doing, you know, we've seen more people get off and go to congregate somewhat. But anyway, they don't want to pay that right now. They'll revisit it in January. And I said, well, then I'm going to take it to my board and see if we're going to continue a contract with you. Because they always, the family care agencies always seem to be able to dictate to us what we're doing, although we're providing them a service and being providers. So what happens right now, we've got about, what, 15 people, we thought?
Yeah.
That receive our meals through their family care contract. So family care authorizes meals for them through us. Two things that we have happening. They don't want to pay our increased costs. It's usually kind of a struggle to get them to do it. I'm concerned, as we have had more waiting lists when we've never had waiting lists, that we've got people receiving meals through, or we're still having to contract with them for meals, even though we might have somebody sitting on a main waiting list that doesn't have the support from family care. So they ended up, even though they've got the support, this person over here does not. The state has always looked at it, well, you know, if you can provide it for those private pay. Well, I have a conflict with that, because I don't think just because you can private pay for a meal that you get a meal, and somebody who doesn't have the funds and doesn't have the support should be stuck on a waiting list because they don't have that ability to pay. So the other thing, but more importantly, what's been happening is Inclusa has been changing their meal providers because they think we're too expensive now. And this is a trend that goes round and round. It has since I've been here. They get care managers. I think they start talking about budgets with care managers, and care managers, I think performances are tied to their, you know, budgets. And they start contracting with Mom's Meals or someone else, they bring in a personal care worker to do meals. What happens is the family care members are not happy about this, and then they call ADRC wanting our meals again. We're referring them back to their Inclusa care manager right now because Inclusa is just not contracting with us for those meals. So we tell them, you need to talk to your care manager, tell them that you'd like our meals. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to provide those meals right now. Well, they're not happy about that. So we've had a few more phone calls taken by staff from participants who have, I put allegedly, because this is what staff are hearing, allegedly been told by care managers that they should drop their nutrition service with the MCO if they're not happy with it. So if they're getting Mom's Meals now because they changed providers, that they can just drop that, they just will take that out of their family care budget, and they can just private pay for Meals on Wheels. Okay, but when they say private pay, they mean pay the suggested donation of $4. They don't mean private pay the $15.55 or the $14.01, which is what our contract is right now. When I stopped by the health department about 10 days ago, the health department director came out and asked me if we're not providing meals to people on family care. And I said, well, who did you hear that from? And she said, Inclusa. I said, well, that's not really the case. I said, they're changing providers, and they're switching people to a different provider. We're just a provider within the Inclusa network, and they're changing the provider. I said, but people aren't happy about it. And she said, well, that's what they're saying. So, which they probably are. So, as I said, we've had waiting lists in 2024. We're implementing the meal prioritization project to help alleviate those wait lists. If we contract with Inclusa, my question is, well, we would be contractually obligated to provide meals unless we put something in the contract that says, if we have a wait list, those people will be waitlisted till such time that we can get to them. so that it's in a prioritized. I don't think they'll go for that, but I don't think just because you're on Inclusa and you have a contract with us that you automatically get a meal, and the three people that have been sitting on a wait list for 3 months still don't. And we're going to, you know what I'm saying? Did you get that? The other issue is, and part of the problem why these people are not liking their new providers is the MCOs aren't mandated to provide 1/3 of the daily nutrition needs, nutritional needs, like we are. So we have to meet that 1/3 daily requirement. The MCOs do not. Soup and sandwiches are okay. And that's what they're often getting, this can of soup and sandwiches, is what the participants tell us. We have had a couple issues. We know one lady who cannot manage the mom's meal box. She can't even get it inside, you said.
She's on the second floor. She's 93 years old. They're big boxes. Her neighbor struggled to get it on the elevator to take it up to her. So she can't get it upstairs herself. She can't unpack it herself.
Those are weekly deliveries, right?
I'm not sure. They could be 1 to 2 weeks. They do.
But they're a pretty wieldy box.
Not daily.
They're not daily. No.
We had one gentleman that actually told you that, right? That was found laying on the floor.
That's the brother.
Mm-hmm. And he was concerned that he wouldn't have that check-in anymore because the MCO had changed his provider. And it wasn't us. Oh, and then we're hearing, as I said before, we're hearing constantly from inclusive members that they're not getting the nutritionally sound meals that they got from us. So these are the issues that we have with the MCO. So we sent some questions to the state, and the state has sort of been reticent, really didn't want to address this a whole lot. I've been talking to Sarah Koenig at the state for several years now, and I make sure I get vocal on every public meeting we've got, so she knows it. In fact, she'll usually say, I was wondering when you were going to speak up, because it's a problem, but it's a problem throughout the state. It's not just us, but we've been asking them to, you know, have a conversation within, you know, it affects two different, obviously, departments within the state, but they need to have some discussion on it. So my question was, can we actually deny eligibility? We've gotten some TA, and I've got that outline below. So, but I wanted to make sure, because this made it sound like, yes, we could deny eligibility to people who are enrolled in family care and already have the supports in place. I wanted to know if there were counties doing this and if they were denying people enrolled in MCOs and IRIS. IRIS is also a family care program, but it's self-directed. So they get a budget and they can spend that budget, I'm sure, within some guidelines how they want. We've never really had a problem with anybody on IRIS. Do counties, and then I did ask, do counties that do this expect people to sign off and testify that they're not on family care, or are they looking them up in the system? Because I have heard that people are looking them up in the system. And I have a problem with that, because I don't think just because we're an integrated aging in ADRC, that Courtney doesn't have access to Forward Health. So she'd have to go ask Nicole to say, hey, look this person up in the system for me and see. I don't really agree with that. It's really not kind of her need. It's, you know, it's a little confidentiality wise. I'm not sure that I like that real well. However, I do know it's been done because I've heard it. Now we can ask people directly if they're on family care. Correct. It is part of your prioritization.
Yep.
And assessment, right?
Yep.
Both.
Yeah.
So what Sarah sent and what WAR has put out is that, yes, we actually can, because for Older Americans Act, agreements may not result in the displacement of services otherwise available to an older individual with greatest social need, older individual with greatest economic need, or an older individual who is at risk for placement. However, we are not required, where is it? Let me go through this. It says, keep in mind OAA is the payer of last resort and should not be funding these services. So we should never fund family care services, which we don't. We make them pay the full cost. According to federal medical guidance, Medicaid is generally the payer of last resort, meaning that Medicaid only pays pays claims for covered items and services if there are no other liable third-party payers. However, Medicaid will pay for a service if there is another party that may, but is not legally obligated to, pay for the service. Under the Older Americans Act, there is a source of funding to cover some services that are also covered by Medicaid. Individuals, however, are not legally entitled to receive services through the Older Americans Act, and thus the Older Americans Act program has no legal obligation to cover those services. Since the Older Americans Act is not legally liable for the service, the OAA does not fall within the definition of third party, so therefore Medicaid will pay for it. So we got some information from other counties. And you talked to
Shannon from Dane County in the nutrition program.
So she asked her, what do you do in the scenario that you have a request from an MCO participant for our meal service? If the request comes from the MCO participant, we let them know that their care manager must first send us a meal authorization detailing how many meals they're allowed to receive per day, week from us. Once we have that authorization in hand, then we begin the meal. We haven't been quite this strict, but we usually tell them if they're on family care that they need to go back and talk to their care manager and get us as a provider. Then she asked, do you ever complete the home delivered assessment with them or just direct them back to their MCO team? We never do assessments on MCO clients. We only collect their name, phone number, whatever. We don't do any of those. Then we asked, can we deny them our service just because they're on an MCO? Yes, if they're requesting home delivered meals and their MCO won't pay for it, we automatically deny them. Older Americans Act is the payer of last resort, and we don't even have to be the last resort. We don't have the funds to service MCO clients with Title III funds just because their care manager wants to spend their funds on other services. We just can't, and we don't. I find that if they're an MCO, they generally have other supports in place to help them with food prep or grocery shopping or whatnot. We often find that MCOs aren't giving us a meal authorization to pay for the meals that the client wants because they're already paying for a personal care worker. That personal care worker may only come once or twice a week, but they're there to shop and make meals. We don't have any control over what type of meals that personal care worker is making, but when they don't pay for both, we deny our services. So that's happening in a few counties. And I know other counties are trying to determine what they're going to do with this as well. So what happens, though, is we ended up being the bad guy in these scenarios because the MCO participants call us and we're saying, go back and talk to your care manager. And the care manager's like, no, I'm giving you meals. I'm giving you mom's meals. And you know, but you can stop that and go back to ADRC, which they know what our policy is, but they'll still put it on us to then say, well, that's not our policy either. And then what we're left with is a 90-year-old who's not getting an appropriate meal, and we feel bad because we're nice people and we don't want to turn that
say the participants when getting a shaft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're bringing it here for two reasons. Because number one, they don't want to pay for the increase to the $15.55 right now. And I'm sorry, but I said those are based on 2023 costs. So they're not even our current costs. You know, so it's not like we're going, I said, we don't make money on these meals. This is literally our actual cost. When you factor everything in that we have to, that's our actual cost. And then my other concern is as we have a few places still with a waiting list, do we have anybody right now?
Splatville has one and Boscoville has one.
That if we do move forward with a contract with them, I would like to stipulate that we will only authorize meals if we don't have a wait list in that area. Because I don't want to get into the fact that they can contract and authorize meals and the three people that have been sitting on a wait list for a month don't get them and they can swoop in and just pick one up. Because really our biggest problem when we have wait lists is the fact that we don't usually have, it's just the routes are excessive for volunteers to get everything out. I mean, that's usually what the problem is. So questions, suggestions, I guess?
Can you kind of encapsulate? It sounds like on the state level, you have this little silo, you have this little silo, you have this little silo. Who's the boss?
So for us, it's Sarah Koenig. So she, so
and she's with
GWAR. She oversees GWAR, who oversees us. So Sarah is the one that gave us the technical assistance and said, you know, you don't have to provide.
I guess I'm looking more.
Yeah.
Is it the legislature? Is
so
it...
I feel there's a couple things. So I the MCOs is the Department of Long-Term Care. I'm not sure I'm saying that, but so the MCOs then are under the Department of Long-Term Care. Well, I'm not sure that's incorrect, but other Bader. I think there's a couple things. I think we do need to be talking about our legislators, like why are MCOs not having to provide them a nutritionally sound meal? I think that's terrible. I think if we have to do it, they should have to do it. It doesn't even make sense to me. And often what happens, what we see is when people get on our meals, they start to improve. And then when they start to improve, that's when they take them off. Because now we've got them back a little better, they take them off. We don't have control over, obviously, MCO budgets. There's always been a little bit of a conflict because our job is the ADRC portion of our job is to enroll people into long-term care. So we enroll people into Inclusa, we enroll people into My Choice, and we enroll people into IRS or whatever it may be. So we've always had that. But then on the Older Americans Act side, on the aging programs, these people own, these MCOs all need services like transportation and meals. So who did the state say, well, you know who's doing that? The aging programs. So circle back and contract with them. So do you see there's a little bit of conflict already there? And they use us, you know, they use us for all our volunteer drivers. Because they don't have transportation. They're always looking to us for transportation. And then they find out, they often pull back on meals, but then they find out meal service around here isn't easy either, and the mail order meal service doesn't usually go. So then they'll circle back and start authorizing this. But it's the program care managers, I think, where the issues come into play with, you know, we'll just drop it and go private pay. Well, you guys get a lot more money through Medicaid to run these programs than we're getting from Older Americans.
And they're building big coffers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And meanwhile, we got cut $10,000 this year and we're not getting increases yet. So I haven't seen any yet. So we kind of want to make you aware of it. I guess I don't necessarily think you have to make a decision, although I guess my feeling is there are two decisions to make right now. Do we hold them to the 55 and say, okay, then I'm going to give you a 30-day notice and you're not going to pay the 1555, then we're not going to continue to contract with you and play a little hardball, or do we wait? I think they will probably pick up the 1555 in January, but I'll bet money they pull more off because mm-hmm. they won't want to pay that extra amount. But I'd like to put the stipulation in that we'll only authorize if we have availability in the area that they're looking. And I'm not sure they'll go for that.
So do they get phone reimbursement from Medicaid?
Well,
for whatever their costs are for them?
I don't know what they get. They should get, they certainly get whatever
yeah.
they bill us or we bill them. I don't know if they get more. I don't know. I don't know what the Medicaid reimbursement would be for that. It's just, it's a very, very frustrating. It's very frustrating for you because you are dealing with the people. And at the end of the day, we have people that aren't getting what they need, which is tough on us.
So what is your suggestion, recommendation, and the board will back you?
At the very least, I mean, honest to God, I didn't expect him to move up to 1555 in October, but I thought I should ask because why shouldn't I? I mean, we've got the data. So we can, you know, it's usually the way it is that they don't renew until January. So we can probably make due till January, but I will say I would like to put in the stipulation that we will only authorize meals in areas that we don't have our current waiting list already in. And I don't know if they'll accept that or not, but I think that's only fair because the people that have are on our waiting list are not on MCOs. They have no supports in place. And whether we like it or we don't like it, the people that do have family care in place do have supports in place. They need to advocate within that system if they're not getting the appropriate support that they need. But they do have an appeal process. I think we think they're maybe trying to get around that appeal process because we used to tell people to file an appeal when they wouldn't authorize for meals. But now that they switched providers, they're and offer mom's meals, they now have, they still are offering a nutrition service. It's just a different provider. So these people don't think they have the ability to appeal that. And the other thing is that we've never contracted with My Choice because it's always been so limited. And what I found out was that if they really wanted meals, they found a way to get them. They just did some kind of out of network. Because I asked them one time, I said, well, how do you contract with us if we don't have a contract? She's like, oh, we just put another out of network. I'm like, well, why am I contracting with anybody? You can do that. Because the other thing is they have stipulations in this contract. They want our staff to be trained on, you know, on the MCO requirements. They want a check-in. They want all of these things. And I'm like, but you don't want to pay us, well, you know, for all of that.
It goes back to the word use. You're being used.
Yeah. I know. Well, I've been saying that for a long time. Yeah. But that's just a constant. Let the ADRCs do it. They already do that, and they know how to, or the aging program, and they know how to do it. So at the very least, I would like to say, if we contract with you, we want the $15.55. That has to be a deal, and at least by January, they have to do it. I mean, we're already almost in November now, so even if I say no, it's going to be only December that we might get it, so. But I would say the $15.55, it has to be. We actually have to do that. We have to do that. So if they don't accept that, then we're done. But that is our
deal. I think you need to add the other stipulation.
With the waiting list?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I prefer to do. So
put that in technical terms, Courtney, and I'll make that motion. Do the wording.
Second.
Well, don't you all agree?
Yes,
yeah.
Totally.
Yes, we agree.
Totally. So we would contract
with Inclusa at $15.55 a meal with the stipulation that their request is in an area we can serve.
Without a waiting list.
Yeah.
The resident or whatever.
Yeah.
Community doesn't have a
And then if they want to.
Why should we furnish them?
Yeah. It's
without
just.
Without taking care of our home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motion by Mike.
And Kathy seconded.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye. I'm sorry for the kind of rambling, but we were trying to capture everything. There's so many pieces to it that, and it's literally, you're dealing with it, if not every day, every week for sure.
Yeah, I've had one lady specifically a couple times a week calling.
Yeah. Nutrition director, I actually thought I was going to have more information on this, but they don't have the waiver out yet. So we have been told by GWAR, and we've heard it in a couple meetings, that they're going to require us to have a waiver now if we do not have a full-time nutrition director. Now, I've been saying for years that nutrition director under the regs has always been part of the regulations that you're supposed to have. And of course, never done anything about that. And nor have we ever had a waiver. So I thought we'd actually have the waiver by now and we could take a look at it to see what the implications were, but I don't have it yet. So just want you to know that it is coming. I suspect moving ahead, but then I thought it, you know, when I first came on board, I thought it was going to be a big deal. And now that was 11 years ago. So, so I'll bring the waiver, but obviously we don't have a nutrition director. Technically, I'm still the nutrition director, but Courtney is the aging programs coordinator, so she handles it. She's the nutrition coordinator as well. But even between Courtney and I, we don't have full-time hours in nutrition and never have. Ideally what they wanted in the regs was you had a dietitian or a nutritionist. And I don't know how you pay for that. We can't even pay for us.
But you do have a dietitian review the menus.
We do. Yeah, we have Grant Regional, it's kind of part of our contract, has given us one. So we don't have the 5 hours. She doesn't probably get the 5 hours a week in, but
okay.
We'll see if they.
Okay, number 11.
All right, this is NFCSP, which is our National Family Caregiver Support Program. And we did have some ARPA funding that came with this. I had originally thought, so we didn't know for sure what we were going to have ARPA funding. That's the fun part of ARPA through GWAR, is you find out in June that you've got ARPA funding. So we did, and that's fine. But my concern was is that the Family Caregiver Program has a 25% match. In the past, I've been able to use, since we've had, since we got a hold of the AFCSP program, I could use some of the AFCSP funds that we've spent as an in-kind match. And so it backed off of our county match a little bit. But two things are taking place with that. Somewhere the powers that be decided AFCSP can no longer be a match starting next year for NFCSP, so it will cost us a little bit more money. We won't have that ability that income match. And we have had more ability to get respite. So the past couple of years have been real dicey for family care, for the caregiver program, just because we couldn't always get people, respite workers for people. But that seems to be doing much a little bit better. So we do have 20. We've got about 21,000 in NFCSP that I was turning over to next year because we have until September 25. I was going to move it, but did actually in the budget for next year. However, I was talking to Bob about this. I think maybe we should try to spend some of it this year if we have the ability. I don't know whether we will, but I think we can get some of it out. Obviously, it's not in my budget, but we've got the AFCSP for a match, and I think we should take as much of it as we can, if any, out this year for two reasons, because we've got the AFCS match already. This year, so that kind of alleviates some of our county match. So if we have to put in county match for this ARPA, it'll kind of balance out a little bit, where next year I won't have it. And then the other thing is, you had some concerns whether ARPA could even be here past January 1st, right? For the new administration, there
it needs to be allocated. By the end of December, it needs to be spent. Whether it's coming through the state or not, that is the last webinar that I attended. Because if there is a change in leadership in the nation, they may change the rules.
Yeah.
So we're operating under rules that were created almost 2 years ago. And that was the last rule. But if that rule changes in March, that funding could just disappear.
So when we did the budget for this year, we didn't know that we were even going to have the ARPA for sure. And then our GWAR budgets are really weird. Like we actually do the 24 budget again in July, and that's when we had all the right costs for 37 months in. It's kind of nuts. So we knew then we had it. So when I budgeted for 2025, I did put it into that budget. However, like I said, if we have the ability to spend some of that in this year, because we can use it this year or next year, I think we should. Like I said, it just, it's a 25% match. So it's all of our other GWAR programs, those aging programs are like a 10% match. The caregiver is a 25%, so it's a higher one. But we were always able to get that down a little bit because we had the AFCSP match. But if we don't have that next year, then I've got two family caregiver programs that would have that 25% match, which would be more. It was a little bit of a surprise that the AFCSP wasn't be allowed. I don't know if that where that determination was made. I don't know if that was a mistake. That was because it's been that way for as long as I've known. So I don't know if the feds just decided that or what. So any concerns about that? Bob, you really didn't have a concern much when I talked.
I don't have a concern. I just think that we need to use it. Make it available and support the managed cost.
Do we need approval?
I think it's a management issue.
Okay. So if you're comfortable with it, I'll just do it. And I don't even know that we'll get, it might only be a few thousand. It might not even be, you know, by the time we get it together, it might not even be much. But if you're comfortable with it, I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Approval of vouchers.
Any questions on vouchers? Did you have anything?
Yes. I have a question on the bottom of page 6. Who is Cisco Corporation paper supplies? Mm-hmm. And I connect Cisco with like food, but when you're doing food, you're not using paper plates and whatever. I just wondered.
So our Cisco, we just use it for paper supplies. So it's aluminum trays for home delivered. It's water cups. It's napkins. Our chemicals, dishwasher.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they cover a wide. Okay.
Yep. Most of our actual food comes from Martin Brothers. Is our big one out of the kitchen in Moscow. Piggly Wiggly, we use a little bit. Quick Trip every once in a while. They've got bread on sale. You know. But Martin Brothers is our big actual raw food.
Okay.
And then Fish and Dairy, I guess, too.
And it's in here twice because it's split between congregate and home.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Anything else?
And just related to that, Mark, is if you look in the second column, those are both paid on the same check. Like Lori just said, there's two different programs.
But it's just split,
so...
But I just connected with Cisco.
Yes, yeah, sure, exactly.
Sure, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, thank you very much.
They do a lot. I mean, we can get...
We've ordered a steam table through them.
Yeah.
You know, they have
great
equipment. Like, yeah. So,
yeah.
They're pretty good.
Thank you. Anything else in terms of vouchers?
Except vouchers.
A second.
Motion made and second. Approval of vouchers. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Financial report.
All right. We've got that too. The only thing I wanted to point out on that is with the way this one is run, we actually took the 90,000. Where did you put it now?
Home delivery?
Yeah.
Home delivery.
Okay. Yep. So the home delivered, the 90,000 is showing as a credit in here on our home delivery line under equipment. So it'd be on page 6. So I just wanted to make you known because it makes our, it, it, it's just going to throw us off until we have the vehicles charged out of that line. So that's the way it's showing up. So I just wanted to point that out. I just wondered how we got a big credit. We did get one vehicle purchased, and we're working on another one as soon as we make sure we can figure out how to get a partition in there. Otherwise, I think I looked, we should be at about 75%. So we're doing okay. And that makes our home delivered look a little off. You see, home delivered at 43% because we got that 90% credit in there. Because I got really excited by that, and then I realized it was 90% credit. Kind of took that right away. it was a short feeling. So you can see our prevention is still way down, and we're not going to get that up. But that is, again, we're working on it, but. Specialist again looks pretty good. Bus is, what did we get going in bus here? Why did that? Well, I highlighted it, but I'm not sure. Why? Our bus is, we are a little more, but we've been doing more bus trips and we've been doing less wheelchair vans, so you will see that as well. I'm going to have to go back and look at that a little bit. And our taxi is up too. That seems weird to me. Otherwise, the trips is down. The nice thing about the transportation is the way we're funded with 8521, it covers all of those, so we can kind of move it around a little bit if we need to. But I will go back and look at that. These just don't seem right when we get into these. I haven't checked these before. I'm going to look at them before. Sometimes it's, oh, I know what it is. That's because it's the revenue is not there yet.
Oh,
we haven't gotten the revenue in transportation. That's why I don't like that report. That's why I like to have my transportation. That's why I like to have my expenses versus my revenue separate. I couldn't believe I didn't highlight that. I'm like, I wasn't that off. So in terms of bus, in terms of our expenses, we're at 67%. The problem is we haven't gotten all our funding. We haven't gotten our 5311 funding. Our specialized transport, which is our wheelchair van, we're at 30% there. We just haven't had as much demand this year. Our taxi's at 73%. Oh, this makes me feel so much better. I was about to have a heart attack for a minute there. Trips is at 73.9. So I knew I had looked at this and thought we were just fine. Family caregivers at 78.9. So that's why I think we're a little bit higher. I think we could dip into that.
Lori, on that, you're looking at page 13. The one light item. 1349.7% for
which one are you on?
On page 13.
Caregiver and other expense.
Oh, what? 1349%.
Yeah, I think what we've got some respite that needs to just go back up to
professional services.
So reallocation.
Yeah, we've got some that just need to go up to professional. And we'll get those changed. Also, you probably will see respite now. That's where you will see respite go up, because that's where those, if we dip into that ARPA, that's where we're going to dip into. It's going to be a full respite. So getting that to people. So, and I think, let me go back to my expense one. So I've got Alzheimer's at 63%, and then ADRC is at 66.7%. So we're within budget. But when we don't have the revenue in there, then it gets me excitable. I don't like that.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion made and seconded. Thank you, report. All the favorites say aye.
Aye. All right, who seconded that one? I didn't catch it. Thank you, Vinny. All right, reports.
Reports.
Well, please excuse my director's report. I was a little embarrassed when I went to send that out to Annika the other day and realized I was in a real big hurry trying to get board packets out. And I quickly did one and then thought, I'll come back and proof that before I send that out. And I did not. You sent right out. So it's got some errors in it. So please forgive me. It was a hectic week and we were just trying to push that out. Yeah, it's just been crazy busy here. With Elder Fest coming up, I've been having nightmares about that about every other day.
What's the issue?
It's just a big event and I worry a lot. So the big issue is that the 2 years that we did the pandemic and we did the drive-through, it was so much work for like really super intense work for a year and or for a month and a half trying to get everything for the drive-through. It never looked like it took as much, but it really took more. So now when we've come to this event, we always feel like we're on track. So I was looking at this and we'll find me some door prize. The only thing I was sure in the last 2 weeks that we were missing something, that we had forgotten something, and I figured out what it was today on my drive-in. We have no big door prizes. Usually Danica gets us some big door prizes. We're fine. We'll be fine. We can do tailgate packages and we give away donuts, but we'll be fine. But that's what it was. I knew there was something we were missing and I just couldn't put my finger on it. So, but we're good. We'll be fine.
I'm not going to come to the door prize.
Well, you weren't going to get one anyway because that'd be a good thing.
It's crispy.
So we're good. We've had just a few things that we had to kind of wait on. We were kind of waiting to see who the new sheriff was so we could get, we had the drug take back on the flyer. Nate assured me that whoever the new sheriff was would continue with the drug take back. So, and Craig has graciously was willing to do that. So we are working with him. And I think that's going to be a really nice avenue for the new sheriff to meet a lot of people too. I think they'll be really pleased to have him there and see everybody. We are collaborating on the vaccine clinic for flu and COVID. Southwest CAP and the health department both have gift cards. I think Southwest CAP has Quick Trip gift cards, and I think the health department has like Visa or something.
Visa,
like a more generic one. And so people will again be able to do that. We have worked diligently with the health department. I talked to Amy to figure out where the backup was last year. I thought it was at the table and the filling out. And she said, no, it was actually in the venue with the shots. She said different things. They didn't quite have enough nurses. She said they had to draw up the vaccines versus this year they have pre-packaged vaccines. So they only have to snap on a needle, which will save time. She said she's added extra nurses. She's added extra clerical. And don't say anything to anybody, but we're actually going to start getting them in about 8:30, so she's going to open it up a little bit early. I didn't advertise it that way, but we'll get them in. So hopefully that's going to work out better. She's convinced that it will, so we hope so. Will it stop there from being a line? No, there won't, because people start coming at 8:00.
8:00.
They never have not, so I wouldn't expect anything different. We also are going to have Accessibility Wisconsin there giving a demonstration. They have an all-terrain wheelchair that we will be able to rent out to Grant County citizens. It's pretty cool. You can use it for hunting. You can use it for take somebody on the farm. Yeah, yeah. And they're supposed to not damage, like they're also supposed to be, they're designed to not damage like the environment either.
No,
so.
they're a track job.
Yeah. So that's good news. I said we currently have 38 vendors, but we might have 39 today when I make that last phone call. We've been getting lots of last minute ones after, of course, I told a few people, yeah, we can still get you in. And then I get three more that we kind of forgot. So so we're going to be full. This is the fullest we've been then since the pandemic. It was like the first year after the pandemic, we were short probably 7 or 8. And last year we caught up. I think we had about 30. 7:38. We had a couple people drop out, but somebody always drops off the day of or forgets about it at the show. So, but it will be crowded. So I'm not going to be able to do my route like I was because I got to have all my table space. That does make a problem. But I'm hoping that Amy's right on the vaccine and we can funnel them in. We're going to funnel them in from outside if we can, too. So we're keeping them out of there.
Plus starting a little bit early.
So, hoping that can be. And access is going to be outside, so they'll have something to kind of look at, provided, again, that the weather's good.
Are you going to let them go both directions into the vaccine?
I think so. I think they can do both once we get going. But we'll have staff out front too. So we may just have somebody filtering and asking people if they are if they're getting a vaccination and keeping that. So are your ends for all the aging programs? So all the stuff we've been talking about today, caregiver and nutrition and all that, that's on the federal fiscal year, so that ends September 30th. So all the data has to be entered with no errors by Friday. And every time I go in and fix something, then it causes an error report somewhere else because there was a reason it wasn't in there in the first place, but I gotta go figure out what it is. So it's always a fun time a year. The data used to not have to be in until like November 7th and stuff after Elder Fest, but now they moved it way up because we have Peer Place, the new database is coming in November 6th to replace the current one that we have. So while I won't miss WellSky at all because it is full of issues and it's very old and dysfunctional, especially this time of year when everybody's in there trying to enter, it bogs way down. And so every roster I pulled up the other day, I could pull it up and then I'd be like, and then you'd just be sitting there just. And it would just, it just drives you insane. We met with a DBS attorney, or I did, to discuss DBS performance. She's doing very good. She's by far exceeding caseload numbers again, and we're going up. Which is always an issue with ours. Grant County always has a very high DBS caseload. The DBS, there are two benefit specialists work under attorneys. The DBS attorney is actually a consulting attorney, which is how the process is. And then with the GWAR, with the EBS, that comes through GWAR, and that's actually more of a supervising attorney. That was the just a difference in structure when they did those years ago. So a little interesting. Transit, I attended the transit team meeting, which was really nice. And I have no idea. I looked at that and thought, why did I put in regional transportation coordination? I think I was just telling you what that was. But again, I didn't proof this, so I apologize. I don't even know my own thoughts at that time. But we did have a conversation on Find Your Own Driver, which I was very happy about since we want to do Find Your Own Driver. So, there are some other places that are looking at it. I think Lafayette's looking at it. Iowa might be looking at it. And Lyft at Southwest Cap is looking at it as well. So we'll be doing that. And then we talked about those new provider requirements for contracts with MCOs that we don't know anything about because they keep pushing it off. So I guess stay tuned on that. We did interview for the food van driver. We got that position filled just yesterday. So we're happy about that. Part D has started. Emily's been pretty busy. She's doing most of that over the phone, through the mail as much as we can. We will see people in person if they really feel like they need that visit. But for the most part, she can get a lot accomplished. If they mail her back, she runs the plans and then meets with them either on the phone or in person if need be. So I think we're on target for that. That goes from October 15th through December 6th. Courtney and I attended the Nutrition Directors Conference via Zoom. Don't think we got, well, the MCO contracts came up a little bit, things like that. So again, people are feeling this. We had the public hearing van, and then we have secured the one van. We've got it. We did get a 2024 Pacifica. With the Eckstein Foundation grant, we will probably get a second one, but Travis the sheriff's department has a partition that they use. We'd like a partition in the van so we don't have anything going flying up to the driver. And he's actually got some that are unused. So he's going to measure for me and check out to see, and then we'll take it to a welding shop and make sure we can do it. But I wanted to do that with the one before we get the second one. Because we can have one that really doesn't have to have it, so we kind of need to know that it's going to work for us before we make a decision. We had thought we were going to maybe get like a mini cargo van or whatever you call them, a transit, yeah,
transit
van. And they don't make those anymore. No one's making those anymore. And even a used one was just astronomically expensive. So they're all over the road. I can't believe they don't make those. It's just crazy to me.
I think that's something good that will eliminate it.
Yeah. So yeah, we're happy. The Pacifica is a nice, it's a nice van,
nice.
It really is.
Yeah.
And we got that from Les Mack, so. And we'll keep you informed as we get the other one and what that's spent by, obviously, one of the years. So. That was good. Any questions on any of that? As I said, it's been kind of busy. You go to the program reports. You'll start to see those elder benefit specialist numbers come way up. And if you look at the disability right now, she's got 93 cases open. They look at an average that caseload should be in the 60s. So, and we always end up close. And usually at some point, you can see in February, we were at 104. Christian is going to be off a little bit, so I requested help from Lafayette and Iowa County if we get any cases that can't be put off for a little bit. But it is what it is here. We just have to push out a little bit further. People do have the ability to apply online by themselves, but again, you know, we do as much as we can do. Family, caregiver, Alzheimer's. If you look at information and assistance, you can see that we shot right back up to 667 total contacts. So we're at our peak in August. I wouldn't even be surprised if September was higher because I feel like September was crazier. But we just continue to skyrocket there. And the total encounter contacts, so the total contacts are all the pieces, like all the phone calls that they get and things like that. The encounter contacts are actual contacts with consumers. And in most cases, our total contact or encounter contacts are more than the other places entirely. So it's busy. And the functional screens are very time consuming. So when you see those functional screens and Medicaid process and all of that, those are more complicated ones. With the map that Mark was talking about earlier, the cases have been more complicated because, well, first of all, we've got people in a panic because they're losing their benefits, and there's a little bit more of red tape cutting that we have to figure out what needs to be done and then how to get it fixed. And the nice thing is I think our staff work really good with economic support. So and CC's, with CC being the director over there now too, familiar with it, so we've been able to, you know, she's aware of it, obviously we're aware of it, so between the two of us, we're trying to get people in the right direction. Dan right now for the bus is doing orchard trips. I think he's got his two biggest orchard trips. I think this might be 3 and 4 or 4 and 5. I don't know how many he's done quite a few. He's getting people to Gaze Mills Orchards, so very nice. It's a nice trip. And they're already booking for the lights in Richland Center. So he takes them through the lights. If you've never been over to Richland Center to the drive-through lights over there, you can drive through or walk through. There's two different times. I would encourage you to do so. It's gorgeous. It's really pretty. So they've done a really, really good job. We usually go over with grandkids so we can walk through, but I think from 5:30 to 7:30 you can walk through, and then from 7:30 on you can drive through. It's really pretty. It is. It's just gorgeous. And it gets a little better every year. It seems like they get a little bit bigger. So. Our taxi remains about the same. I think probably the only thing, well, and actually he was up a little bit for the wheelchair van. I was going to say, I feel like we don't have as many requests, but those are always very subjective to just, you know, people's needs. So we did do a driver training. See, I missed some things. We did a driver training with our volunteer drivers as well. So we had most of them in updated forms, and then talked about bloodborne pathogens and some other conflict, making sure not to escalate conflict, just touched on some of those. They're always a nice group to meet with. So that's what I've got. I do have a volunteer schedule. I'll put it up there by the donuts so you can get yourself a donut and sign up. Gary, I do have you and Sharon already down from 8:30 to 9:30. You told me you wanted the early slot, right?
Yeah, I can be there at 8.
Well, you can come as early as you want.
Okay. Well, 5 in the morning is done.
Because you drive me. You can drive me in. I don't care. So yeah, I'll put this up here, and if you would sign. So basically what we'll need from volunteers, and if you can't do it, it's fine. We'll be fine. We've got the registration desk, and then we've got the concession stand. We need a food worker, one cashier, and one cleanup. I just have 3 different slots for that. So usually the cleanup is just to kind of make sure that the tables stay clean and help somebody if they need some of those, if they've got a walker or something, they need help just getting their stuff to the table. So I'll put that up there. And any other questions on any of the reports for me?
Not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
And a second?
Second.
Motion made and second to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.